to the Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Sister Megan McElroy, a Grand Rapids Dominican who recently earned her Doctor of Ministry in Preaching. Sister Megan's reflection is entitled, Findin' the Right-Sized Pan.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And in coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. The story is told of a young girl watching her mother make one of her favorite meals, a delicious roast. The mother cuts off the ends of the roast and places it in the pan. And the girl asks her mother, "Why did you cut off the ends of the roast?" Her mother replies, "Because this is the way my mother always made the roast." A couple of weeks later, they're visiting Grandma, who is also preparing a roast for the family dinner. The girl watches her grandmother do the same thing her mother had done a couple of weeks earlier. So she asks her grandmother, "Why do you cut off the ends of the roast?" And Grandma answered, "Because that's the way my mother always made it." Well, great-grandma was living with Grandma and was sitting in the living room. So the little girl went into the living room, sat down next to her, and said, "Gigi, why did you cut off the ends of the roast when you were making it?" And great-grandmother answered, "Because it's the only way it would fit in the pan." This story is a familiar parable, but it tells us something about tradition. Tradition is the handing on of something that's precious, that's of value from one generation to the next. It can be something physical, a gift, an heirloom, or it might be an action, something that we do. But tradition is only of value if we understand why it's important, why we continue to do it, why it's worth handing on. In today's first reading, we hear Moses traditioning, handing on to the people what is of value to them, the law of the Lord, the essence of the covenant. He says to them, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live." The law of the Lord is valuable because it is about life. It's about living out the covenant relationship with God. And then Moses goes on, "In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, You shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, does not need to be fixed in any way. It does not need to be improved upon. It is sufficient. The task at hand, however, is determining how to live that law, how to live the covenant, how to live in relationship. And determining that happens through interpretation. What is being asked of us in this law of the Lord? It is the interpretation of how to live the law that Jesus is challenging in today's gospel. The Pharisees ask him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders?" In the time of Jesus, the tradition of the elders was everything that had been handed on from one generation to the next as the law of the Lord had been interpreted. Developed over centuries, the tradition of the law was righteous living. However, it was developed in such a way that only the elite, the wealthy, the powerful could possibly maintain it. Yet the Pharisees expected everyone to follow such practices, whether it was practical for them or not. The law of the Lord, the covenant, was about relationship with God and with neighbor. Yet the tradition of the elders had made it more and more difficult to be in relationship. Rather, it tended toward exclusion and isolation. Who was in and who was out? Who was welcome and who was not? Who was allowed and who could not? But Jesus was not about such division, exclusion, or cutting off, and he challenged the Pharisees. "You disregard God's commandments but cling to human precepts." Quoting Isaiah, he held a mirror up to them. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts." In today's second reading, James gets to the heart of the matter. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word planted in us at baptism is life. And that life is to be offered, is to be shared in such abundance that there is no longer isolation, division, and exclusion, but rather deeper union, acceptance, welcome, and understanding. Sadly, the tradition of the elders has managed to find its way into our own context today. We are at a critical time in our society when certain traditions of the elders need to be re-evaluated in order to return to the law of the Lord, the word of God, the covenant of relationship. Here in the United States, people at our borders seeking a safe place to call home and to raise their children are caught in an endless web of regulations, rules, and red tape that do more to keep them out of our country than to provide a welcome, a bienvenido, a bienvenue, a warm embrace. The poem of Emma Lazarus on the base of the Statue of Liberty, also known as the Mother of Exiles, echoes the letter from James, who calls for the care of the orphan and the widow, those who are kept out of the life of the community. Her poem says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Holding fast to this tradition, do we hear the echo of Moses speaking to the people, "Observe the statutes and decrees carefully, for thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations." And we're also at a critical time in our church when certain traditions of the elders need to be reevaluated in order to return to the covenant of Christ who gave his life that all might live. We celebrate that life most especially every time we gather around the table of the Eucharist, the table where Jesus the Christ is made present in our midst in a very real, a very unique, and a very true way. Yet the traditions of the elders seek to keep this as a sacrament where it seems only the righteous may partake. We forget that even the one who betrayed Jesus and the one who denied Jesus participated in the Last Supper, where the Eucharist was instituted. We cannot and must not put walls around this gift when he who offered his life did so for all of humanity, for all of creation. The Eucharist is a sacrament of healing. It is for the broken, the wounded, the displaced and misplaced, the lost and the forsaken. It is for each and every one of us, for the body of Christ, who we are, is broken and can only be healed and made whole by his life. Holding fast to this tradition, do we hear the echo of Jesus saying, "Do this in memory of me." The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, does not need to be fixed. It does not need to be improved upon. It is sufficient. We do not need to cut off the ends of the roast, so to speak. Rather, our church and our world are calling for another solution, to find a different pan that allows for such sufficiency. Thank you.